You're listening to Sportsnet.ca Soccer Central Podcast with James Sharman, Brendan Dunlop, and Thomas Dobby.
Well, hello there. After a one-week hiatus, we are back. It is the Soccer Central Podcast. I'm James Sharman, joined by Thomas Dobby and Brendan Dunlop, fresh off a visit to IKEA.
Yeah, that's grown-up life.
The girl moves in and they get IKEA furniture. So if you survive the construction of said IKEA furniture, you're doing all right, sunshine.
And he's got the shirt buttoned up all the way to the top like a 60-year-old man. So yeah. He's really settling into that old man's life. He's got the grays coming in.
Got a ton of grays, actually. I was thinking about the other day. It's okay. I understand. It's easy to,
I'm surprised and impressed that you haven't died, actually. Not died, but dyed the hair. Because I thought, for sure, you're so vain that you would definitely dye the hair.
I think people like it. It's the ladies like it.
Yeah,
it's like
George Clooney's done a lot for gray hair.
He has done. Yeah, he set the bar really high. I'm 28 with hair like I'm 48, and it's difficult to pull 14. Off. Like when I went with the Marco Royce haircut a couple weeks ago, and Dobby's like, "Whoa, there's a lot of gray there on air." Now I can't pull off the youthful hairstyles. Now it might be time to just for Dunlop.
I'm actually reconsidering my haircut right now.
Oh, give over.
The side parting, I don't know, I'm not having it anymore. It's just too much maintenance.
What are you going to do with it? It is a bit of maintenance, though.
It's fine when it's first cut, it looks okay, and the sides are very short. But then after the first week, it's like, oh, Christ.
And it's a full commitment.
It's a little Ponzi.
And once you're...
A little what?
A little Ponzi.
Ponzi, is it really?
A little bit.
Once you shave, like, do you have to trim over the ears? The overhang over the ears? Do you find that to be an issue?
In the ass. Yeah. Look at it right now. Yeah. And see, Ponzi is interesting because I thought I was more concerned about being like a typical middle-aged newsreader.
No, it's like, kind of like a little hipster or something.
Oh yeah, no. You look like you got some edge to you. People still look at you and be like, despite the fact that he's wearing a suit and looks funny, I could have a beer with that guy.
Nobody ever thinks you're as old as you are either. So it goes. I told my girlfriend how old you were, and she was stunned.
Nice.
She couldn't believe
it. She thought he was 50.
I think when we went out for your birthday or whatever, and I told her, I was like, do you mind if I say?
Oh, no, go ahead.
Oh, we're going out for Charmin's 40. She's like, James is 40?
Nice.
I'm like, I thought you were like mid-30s at most. So.
Keeper. She's a keeper.
There you go.
Well done.
Yeah.
Nice. IKEA furniture put her together and thinks you're younger. Keepers. We've really upgraded our lives.
Hey, Dobby?
Over the years?
Back from Amsterdam. They're waiting for us at the airport. God. Oh, doctor.
Do you remember years ago we had that radio show on Hardcore Sports Radio? And one of the challenges for me and KJ was to see how long we could go without talking about soccer. And we just pissed off.
Well, we haven't seen
so
each other
much.
In a while.
That was when I ran. If I can just tell a quick story, that was when I ran the show. And we were going to have a huge meeting. And basically, it was going to be do we keep the show and invest
Is
resources
that
show?
Is before after you got your iPads?
It was with private jets. Right. You forgot the helicopters that they gave us. this was going to be the big meeting. And so we were, we took it very cool. We were very calm. Not nervous. Typical of James and Christian. But I had an agenda to go through in the show to finish out the show strong, and we didn't talk soccer for 22 minutes. I come out of the studio and just got reamed for, you can't even control the guys? You're like a child in the radio studio.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
From what I understand, the executive team is still meeting about perhaps approving our, being paid for the damn show, by the way. They're still waiting. The boss says it's probably going to happen, so just keep doing what you're doing, boys.
It's probably going to happen probably really soon. So,
oh, well, let's get to football now, shall we?
Yes.
The football story, as it were. Euro qualifying. Wow! What great matchups we're going to be seeing this qualifying campaign.
Oh, my God. Well, Netherlands are on the brink. I mean, can they even qualify now? I mean, Portugal's done. Yep. I mean, only two teams get through per group plus the third into the playoffs.
And with the Faroe Islands playing like they're going to take points off teams.
Luxembourg got a point.
Yeah.
Honestly, this whole qualifying just seems like a big exhibition. I mean,
it always does.
There's no big team. There's not even a medium team that's not going to get in. Like, all of the teams.
Maybe Portugal.
Well, they'll be fine. You know what I mean? It's just. With so many teams,
but
it's just going to water
recommend that
down.
The viewers still watch it as we've acquired the rights to every single game.
All right, this is the best qualifying that ever has been.
I love Malta.
We ripped it on air because it is, there's obviously going to be some good matchups, but as far as drama is concerned, even Michel Platini himself said, listen, 24 teams in the final tournaments, a great thing. we debate that. But the sacrifice is you might lose some of the excitement in the qualifying campaign. Mm-hmm. You think, Michelle? Do you really? You think? You know, you might see some big games late in the rounds as that third place obviously kicks in, but I don't know. I don't like it. I'm a purist. I like 16 teams in the European Championship, yeah. Not 24.
Me too. I totally think that the system was fine. I don't like how it's going to affect the actual tournament. You will get drama towards the end. You will get, you know, those matchups. They're not going to be of the big teams, though. I mean, we're not going to see any of the 10 to 12 big squads miss out. But, you know, to see the Netherlands start off with a loss, it was interesting. England pretty much qualified with a win is the other thing, right? Quite seriously. Like, if they find a way to not qualify now, it would be... There's no chance.
Shocker.
They're in. That was the only tough game they had in the group was at Switzerland, yeah. And they're already...
But, I mean, yes, there'll be drama, but for me, the real drama in these tournaments is that when it is a big team on the brink of going out, yeah, that brings drama.
Absolutely.
When it's going to be, you know, with all due respect, you know, I haven't got the groups here, but, you know, Kazakhstan fighting Latvia in the final match day, between them, and they might, you know, okay, there's drama, but how many people really care about who wins that game?
And it's because we don't know enough. But as the years go on, and as the qualifying campaigns become more intense for the next couple tournaments, then you'll have a reason to be intrigued by Latvian soccer, whether you live in Canada or whether you live in Riga. That's the intention, right? And I think for me, you know, I see all the negatives, but there are a few positives that I'm excited by. It'll be nice to have Scotland in a tournament. It'll be nice to have Wales in a tournament, to see Gareth Bale pull on his national team shirt and see if he can be a superstar and carry them
to
great lengths.
Nice.
Why don't we go through group by group quickly and just talk about the groups and then say...
You have them there now?
I have them here now. So Group A, Iceland, Czech Republic, Kazakhstan, Latvia, Netherlands, Turkey. So Netherlands are going to get through that. And it's basically Czech and Turkey will battle for second.
Yeah.
And then one of them will probably get into that third place.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Okay. Fine.
Sort of.
Not the worst group. There's
Not the worst group.
The Czechs obviously a decent team.
Ooh, Iceland missed out. Ooh, Turkey have to go in the playoffs.
Iceland did the playoffs in the World Cup, right?
Yeah, they did.
Okay, I mean, Group B. Wales, Cyprus, Belgium, Israel, Bosnia-Herzegovina, Andorra. Okay, so Belgium and Bosnia-Herzegovina are probably going to get the first two. And then Israel and Wales will battle for the third spot for a spot in the playoffs.
Come on, Wales.
Right? I mean, okay.
Unless, you know, Bale and Ramsey can carry them, which is possible.
They had to get like an 81st minute... amazing free kick just to
but they got it right.
Yeah, beat Andorra. All right.
Okay, next group.
All right, Spain, Slovakia, Belarus, Luxembourg, Ukraine, Macedonia. Okay, so Spain gets through there. Ukraine lost at home to Slovakia, which was brutal, and there's so much internal.
There's so much
going on there that
they're going to play matches away. They're not going to get points.
Okay, Spain win the group, and then Slovakia, Belarus, Ukraine, and Macedonia battle for 2 and 3.
I like Macedonia to come out of that. To be honest. They've been on the rise for years, and this tournament gives them a platform to make it and play. And the national team will grow and better from being in big tournaments.
Goal difference is all your -4 after losing 5-1 to Spain.
You make good points.
Good. All right. Shall we continue? This is going to be a really quick... I guess we'll preview the weekend after. Sorry I took over here. I just thought this was interesting.
I'm actually very tired.
All right. Producer host Dobby.
I feel good. Poland, Ireland, Germany, Scotland, Georgia, Gibraltar. Okay,
that's a good group. I enjoy it. However, Gibraltar lost 7-0 to Poland, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're playing Germany next. Sweet Jesus in heaven. That could be like 39-0.
Hence the pre-qualifying tournament with San Marino, Faroe Islands, Gibraltar. Come on.
The only thing missing, if Germany...
Portugal.
The only thing missing...
Just trying to get Ryerson Dunlop.
I know.
He's very calm right now.
I'm cool, collected. It's the IKEA furniture, the whole experience. And I had the meatballs and mashed potatoes. It's sitting weird.
Not a bad cafeteria there. Very cheap.
For $6, buddy, it's good food.
I think I haven't been to IKEA in my life.
I despise it with all that's holy in the world.
The girlfriend's moving in January, so we might.
You're
be
going to IKEA.
We've got a lot in our house.
Stay away from the lack coffee table. Okay, you don't want anything with lack in the term.
Eddie Lack's not a bad goaltender.
Eddie Lack is a pretty good goaltender. Yeah. Quick story: went on a Valentine's Day a double date to IKEA. They had a special in college.
Awful.
It was $15.99.
Because
we're here in college and you make no money. We took the girls. Well, it was like a whole
Needless
shindig.
Needless to say, you never got a second date.
Exactly.
No, of course. This was a bit. They appreciated it. You do the shopping, $15, a nice salmon at IKEA. It was a joke.
Salmon at IKEA.
It was a good time.
I think actually, not getting laid that night, obviously, but I think laid might be a shelf or something in IKEA. The laid.
Back to the groups.
The laid.
It's a nice shelf. It's a free floating.
So umlauts over the D makes no sense.
Umlaut. James likes this group. So Germany, okay, obviously.
But compared to other crap.
Ireland, that's not a bad group. Ireland, Poland, and Scotland, maybe Scotland.
Interesting battles there anyway, certainly.
Scotland held their own against Germany. They're only losing 2-1. That's a decent result for them. You never want to say, I hate the term moral victories. Mm. I really do, because it seems like to me it's for losers. Mm. You lost. But it's a moral victory for Scotland.
Absolutely it is. I was
you guys going to talk?
No, keep going. What do you mean? We're just fully engaging here. I was while I was building a dining room set yesterday, I was listening to TalkSport and they were talking about the game. And I appreciated that. Previously, I'm sure that the callers beforehand had talked about how good it was for Scotland, because Adrian Durham just kept saying, if anyone's got to score the Scotland game, you know, looking for it, Scotland and Germany, breaking news, I got the score of the game. Germany 2, Scotland 1. So in case you were wondering about the score of the Scotland game, Scotland lost, Germany 2, Scotland 1. Because everyone was you know, calling in praising how good it is for Scotland. They're going to qualify. And he just took that.
It's still Germany,
but
it's Germany without seven starters. Yeah. Seven
German reserves, starters, that was right.
You know, Rudy was in there, who's, you know, a nice story, Rudy, you know.
Rudy.
Came from nowhere.
No, sure. Walk on.
The Super Bowl or something. I haven't seen Rudy. Can you believe that? I have not seen Rudy. Isn't that? It's inexcusable.
That's one of my favorite sports.
But you didn't grow up here.
Durham played.
So I can see that.
Well, there's American films in England.
You make good points.
And
I haven't
sure
seen any of the Godfather movies, so I'm
pretty sure.
That's my.
Any of the Godfather?
Durham and Cromer played.
Any. Oh, my God.
So, you know, these are the future.
Yeah, but Cromer also played in the World Cup final.
Yeah. Yeah. So. But they're still, they're not, you know, household names like Kadira.
Okay.
Although I'm not sure Kadira is a household name.
Ireland got a late winner.
Do you know who Sammy Kadira is? Probably not going to know who he is.
By the time 2015 comes around and Jordan Rhodes has reached his peak, he'll carry them to greatness, along with Barry Bannon. They'll be fine.
He's staying where he is, remember.
Never leave Blackburn. Yeah. Ireland got a late winner against Georgia. That was good. Okay, so...
It's Georgia for crying. So you bloody should.
I know, but on the road. Yeah. Okay, so that group's okay.
On the road, though? Because Georgia's not playing at home, are they? Is Georgia playing at home?
I don't know.
I wouldn't think so.
You want us to look at the fixture list?
Why? What's wrong in
Georgia? Well, I mean, Angie, for example, Georgian team, didn't play in Georgia.
Hmm.
They have political unrest there.
Angie, who?
Angie Mekal.
They don't play in Georgia. They're Russian.
Okay, who am I thinking of?
Get your politics together.
Not the Georgian team.
There is a Georgian team that whose name sounds like... No. Not Angie Makalaka. They are Russian.
Deepest, darkest Russia.
Deepest, darkest Russia.
Who's the Georgian team that has qualified?
Dagestan.
What?
That's
from Team America.
Angie, it's in Dagestan.
Speaking of political unrest, as he looks that up, are you talking about Scotland? What the hell is like the big vote in Scotland?
Referendum, bro.
Big vote.
It's for independence.
Vote for independence.
Like Quebec, 95, bro. Referendum.
So I was actually over there recently, and obviously a lot of family over there, and they were comparing it to the Quebec referendum, and they're asking me all these questions about that, and I haven't got a bloody clue.
Yeah.
I felt so ignorant.
Yeah,
I know that the no vote won, but over there, Scotland could be separated pretty soon, which is sad, actually, for someone who's half English and half Scottish, but 100% Canadian.
All right, as he looks up the Angie of Georgia, England, okay, going to go through. Lithuania, Estonia, Slovenia, Switzerland, San Marino. So England and Switzerland,
Jesus.
And then who the hell cares?
That's a bad group.
Okay. Slovenia, been in a World Cup, a nation of less than 2 million. Good for them.
You know that, but you don't know about the vote for independence
in
Scotland.
Well, I've just been like lately, so anyways, busy and not paying attention
to any
news.
About Lithuania.
The morning producer. Yeah, because Jonas Valanciunas is putting up points and bringing in more attractive women than Johnny Manziel to these games.
The US today. Finland, Northern Ireland, Romania, Hungary, Greece, Faroe Islands. Jesus, that's awful.
Yes, it's not
Who's
good,
the best
is
team
it?
In that group?
Can you read
Greece
that again, please?
Finland,
Greece is the best team, I think.
Finland, Northern Ireland, Romania, Hungary, Greece, and the Faroe Islands. Two of those teams are going to be in the European Championships, possibly a third.
That's ridiculous.
Greece. I know they're ranked like fourth in the world or something ridiculous. Like, it's actually like, I think, 10th. But
still, they're top 10, though, aren't they? Yeah.
Well, that is a staggeringly poor group.
Speaking of poor.
Is that it? All the groups?
No, there's more.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Oh, there's more.
Do you want to take a break?
No, I'm going to keep going, then we'll get to Georgia.
Well, I was going to say, because speaking of, you want to finish and then we'll get to Georgia?
Yeah, okay, I'm going
to put Georgia to the side.
Russia, Montenegro, Sweden, Austria, Moldova, Liechtenstein. Okay, Russia and Sweden, and then Montenegro.
Well, Montenegro's a decent team.
While you mention Liechtenstein, can I just say that it infuriates me to hear football, mainly non-football people, but football people repeatedly make the mistake of calling Stefan Lichtsteiner Liechtensteiner.
I know, yeah.
It is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Figure it out.
Do you watch Juventus games? No. No, they don't.
Somewhere Paul Visca is dropping glasses of amaretto, freaking out.
Group H. Italy.
Liechtensteiner.
Italy and Croatia. Okay, it should go through. Bulgaria, Azerbaijan, Norway, Malta. Oh, no. Norway and Bulgaria might have to battle for third in a place in the playoffs.
Don't write off Azerbaijan.
Group
Land of Fire.
I, the final. Only five teams in this real barn burner. Denmark, Albania, Serbia, Armenia. Oh, and Minos, Portugal.
Yeah.
Minos. So Portugal, Jesus, and Denmark and yeah, Serbia yeah, are battling for two spots. So, needless to say, it's not the best.
And for the big teams, a lot of these big teams are in transition at the moment, like Spain, Germany to a certain degree, you know, England certainly. But it's hard to gauge what these teams are right now. You mentioned Spain won this week, 5-1, I think, Macedonia. But what can you learn from that at all? That being said, I think a lot of these teams who are playing these crap nations and will qualify maybe need these games to figure out who they are and what they are. And by the time Euro comes around, you know, they're far more stable in who their top 11 is, perhaps.
Sure.
Doesn't make for great football.
No.
But I'm sure some of these coaches aren't too against it.
I don't think that's anything new. You look at that European qualifying stage after every World Cup, there's quite the transition and a bit of a change of the guard, at least in some regards. Look at the strike force that that Spain took. Paco Alcácer was starting. Give me a break. You wouldn't even have considered him.
Yeah, Munir in the squad. He made his debut for the U21s the week before.
Crazy.
Speaking of Bobby McMahon today, and he was just saying that, you know, if you think about it, for the big teams, it's not much different because generally speaking, the big clubs have an easy go of it anyway in Euro qualifying.
Yeah.
Right. So
it's even easier.
Even easier. It was easy before, now it's easier.
Well, okay. So France are in as hosts. You've got the 9 group winners, 9 runners up is 18 more equals, that's 19 teams. And then the best third place team already gets in without even a playoff of all of them. I mean, I think they take out the result against the lowest team because there's only 5 teams in Group I. And then 8 teams into the playoffs.
Yep.
Crazy.
Let's get to Portugal, shall we? Lost to Albania 1-0 this Thursday. Paulo Bento got his marching orders, or I guess according to the Federation, it was a mutual agreement. I love that. Mutual agreement, please. He was canned. Albania, 70th in the world. It really is inexcusable. I know there's no Ronaldo, but are you surprised he got fired now after just one game of qualifying, after what was obviously an awful World Cup?
I think it was just to use a horrible cliche, the straw that broke the camel's back. Mm. It was, you know, he I don't think he earned himself many backers. With the performance they put in Brazil, I think despite what they had to go through in playing him in Manaus and Ronaldo not being at his best, I think, you know, a lot of people thought that there were, with a different manager there, they would have made different decisions and probably not put themselves in the hole that they were in. And I think that Paulo Bento's biggest downfall as a manager, and this is what cost him his job at Sporting originally, is that he refuses to adapt. He's very old-fashioned in the sense of he approaches it, you know, He approaches it the way it was when he played, and he doesn't adapt well on the fly. He can't make substitutions. I feel like he didn't have a strong enough staff around him, or at least a staff that he trusted to allow to, you know, influence his decisions. And he repeatedly, when tested at their worst, he made the wrong choices. So losing to Albania, having, you know, dominated the game in possession, outshot them, outchanced them, you lost in Portugal. I couldn't imagine him staying.
He did make some changes, right? He started Cavallo, he dropped Morales,
right,
and Veloso.
These are things that he should have done before Brazil,
right,
which I think would have gone a long way into them getting out of that group of death.
Surely there's someone else than Eder to put out front.
God,
I
know. Well, but you know what? There really isn't.
And you know who... Pustiga's not matched fit, and Almeida hasn't got a club.
Well,
right,
are
now
you ready for Bebe? Or because Jorge Jesus refuses to call him Bebe, the quote was, The player you are talking about is Thiago. He's a 23-year-old man. I will not call him Bebe. And so now he is Thiago.
Is it a nickname, Bebe?
Bebe, well, yeah, Bebe was always a nickname, yeah.
When's the last time they had a good striker, outright striker?
Rui Costa?
Paleta? Was
Paleta.
He any good?
Well, he scored lots of goals in qualifying. Yeah. Never
I just
scored
feel
in the
like
tournament.
They have crap strikers all the time, and they just rely on...
That's been their weakness, for sure. But even look at this country. I mean, they weren't anything until that golden generation evolved, right? You know, the Figos, the Rui Costas. Yeah. You know, they were a fantastic, fantastic team.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a very small country, right? 10 million people or so.
And it's still new.
Yeah,
as far as football in power, right?
So
they've only been relevant.
Has the bar been set too high by that golden generation? And of course, Ronaldo. You know, even between the generations, Deco was a very good player.
Sure.
You know, they've had this nice wealth of talent in recent years, and now if you look down that squad list, you know there's some serviceable players, but outside Ronaldo, who's world class?
But there's the
Cavalier might be one day, but he's not right now.
Sure, the drop between first and second is
dramatic,
yeah, light years. And between second and third, I think there's quite the drop. There's still a lot of potential, but this is a nation that's only been relevant as a footballing team for 14 years.
Yeah.
Euro 2000.
I think it's a very valid point.
When they surprised the world and got out of a group with Germany and England and Romania, came out ahead of Romania at Euro 2000 and shocked the world and got robbed of a finals appearance but losing to France.
Yeah, the bar was set high and probably falsely.
Way too high.
Falsely.
Yeah.
Yet Portugal should still be beating Albania at home.
Yeah. They absolutely should be.
You know what? Interesting, because we say, oh, can anybody... It could get interesting for Portugal. Their next game is in Denmark, and they've played Denmark a ton lately in qualifying. That's maybe the toughest game. It's probably the toughest game in the group in Denmark. So if they lose that all of a sudden, you're on 0 points after two games.
When is it, though? It's early, right?
October.
It's October
14th is their next game.
So going there, getting that out of the way in October as opposed to playing that game in the winter.
Then they're home to Armenia in November, and then they're all the way until March. They're home to Serbia, then at Armenia, then at Albania in the reverse fixture. Yeah. So
What makes the Denmark troubling is the new guy, whether it be the favorites are former Porto boss Vitor Pereira, who left and took a ton of money in Saudi Arabia rather than many of the jobs he was rumored to take in England after he took over for Vijay Boas and led Porto back to the title. And former Greek boss Fernando Santos, who I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot stick just because of that job title. Yeah, he plays really exciting football. You know, I really like the fact that they score a lot of goals where he's from. You know, that's good.
It's not as if Greece has Ronaldo lurking around.
No, it's not, but he's a traitor. I wouldn't take him.
England won.
That was good.
They played really well. I mean, Switzerland were bloody awful, but I don't care. Played really well.
Hey, you take it. I said, toughest game in the group. That three-pronged attack, I mean, God, how good is Sterling?
I was going to ask you that. At this point, is he not England's best player?
He is.
It's astonishing, isn't it?
Gary Cahill was really good, too, but I mean, as a defender. But just the Rooney-Sterling-Welbeck thing worked well. I was worried, oh, no Sturridge because he's been such a good scorer. But you actually can get a little bit excited about England's future with Raheem Sterling because this guy is just getting better by the week. I mean, last year we saw it with Liverpool, his development, and this season, I think he has the chance to be one of the top five players in the Premier League this season. And then going forward, who knows? I mean, his potential is just through the roof, and he seems to have figured it out. And I think Brendan Rodgers has been a good influence on him, and all of his indiscretions of his youth and stuff. Hopefully, he's getting over
that.
Which
I think were overblown to a certain point. I think. I mean, I'm not condoning
one kid, not five. One kid.
Yeah, one kid. Exactly.
Speaking of overblown, too, though. I mean, we've talked about future England stars like this a lot. Theo Walcott, Michael Owen, and
Sean Phillips.
On and on and on we go. Yeah.
But Sterling is a smart player, and the fact that he's been moved centrally so early in his
career. The runs he makes are
unreal. And you've got to play him in that little hole, haven't you, I think? He can play anywhere, but he's looking so good.
Steven reference.
Yeah. Yeah, he looks really good in the hole.
Play him in that little hole.
He plays well above his age.
So let me ask you this.
Plays like a wise player.
So Sturridge was hurt, but I would think he has to walk back in the side. Who is dropped? You're not going to drop Rooney.
Probably
Welbeck. Probably Welbeck, right?
He even though he scored twice, but
we'll see how he does.
They were put on a platter for him.
Yeah. Still, I mean, listen, I like Welbeck. I always have.
What do you make a $16 million Arsenal? You think they got a bit of a deal, or you think that's about right?
I think it's about right. Yeah. Honestly, it may even be quite high. If he wasn't English, with that record of goal scoring, he wouldn't be $16 million.
Yeah,
well, he wouldn't be. He'd be an $8 to $10 million player probably. And I think he's at the right club now to see what he can do.
Well, consider that it's we say this all the time. Like, what do the totals really mean? Liverpool paid $10 million for Divock Origi, who we saw for four games, mm-hmm. really, and who, you know, didn't even have a solid starting place at Lille the season before. Yep. So the price is, to me, you're paying for potential in a lot of ways. And I think that a lot of Manchester United fans, this says a lot, that despite his 29 goals in 149 matches or whatever the exact stat was, were quite disappointed to see him go to a rival because they feel that he has a lot of quality in him and he'll end up burning United in the future.
Van Gaal said today, he said, though, that he didn't reach the standard because he had RVP and Rooney, yeah. and look at the stats. Well, let's not compare him to those guys. It's a bit unfair.
Well, he was never going to reach that. But that was the whole point of and for every kid that comes up with Manchester United, with Real Madrid, with the New York Yankees, that's the thing. You're going to have to be at such a superstar level, yeah. So young to get a place and earn the minutes and experience and be number one to avoid your team going out and spending hundreds of millions on someone else. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to get that spot at Arsenal. And with Giroud out for 3 months, if he can, you know...
It's going to be the number one guy. So.
Yeah, well, he is.
He really is going to the better team, which is hilarious.
Well, the Gunners play Man City this weekend. So
amazing.
It's the early one, eh?
Yeah.
You're waking up for it late nights, eh?
I'm off on Friday, so luckily I can... try to
split all nighter.
I'm camping schedule. This weekend, believe it or not.
Oh, so, God. Really?
Oh, God. I remember the camping story from back in the day.
You're such a dad.
You're doing the family camp.
The camping story from back in the day. Going. Hopefully, it doesn't resurface. You know, the dog shitting everywhere.
Oh, yeah,
in the back
that's
of the,
right. Yeah, the infamous story with the old poodle.
Your wife to be just like almost dying on you.
Yeah,
you know?
Racing through the rain to the hospital, 3 a.m.
Dog, for the dog or for the woman in the back seat.
Oh, for the wife, but then the dog starts shitting everywhere.
It was a horrible experience.
Horrible rain everywhere.
It was maybe the worst experience of my life.
I remember that. I'll never forget that story. It's a great one. Yeah.
I'll regret it.
So I'm sure our new listeners love
it. Tell you what, if my dog now, Freddie Mercury, if he's dumping in the back seat, we've got some big issues because he weighs 95 pounds.
Oh, God.
So that would be a mess.
Charmin's dog is called Freddie Mercury.
How amazing is that?
Speaking of music, this guitar pick I found on the desk here, it's a Jim Dunlop.
Get out of here.
Really?
Jim Dunlop.
Yep,
wow. That was my great-grandfather's name, Jim Dunlop.
Jim Dunlop.
Is it that Jim Dunlop?
Well, so he didn't have a logo like that. Hey, Jim Dunlop.
Jim Dunlop.
I think Jim Dunlop makes a guitar string.
Jim Dunlop.
I'll be at the Ukrainian Festival this weekend on Bloor Street.
I'm
coming
excited.
By, Saturday.
Yeah, I think I might, actually,
come,
buddy.
Let's get some grub. Bloor Street West between Runnymede and Jane.
Yeah.
My mother will be singing 3 different sets with her
really?
Ukrainian trio.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Mama Dami.
There's a joke there somewhere. Yeah. Won't try and find out what it is.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't do it.
Svetlana.
So yeah, come on. I'm singing at a Ukrainian festival. I mean, there's a lot of eating.
I'm just
going to
drink beer, and my cousins and my family will be there. And
is beer the go-to drink for Ukrainians? Is it known for a certain beverage?
Yeah. I mean, they have a couple of beers that they sell here.
What's
there's
the brand?
Lvivska is one of them.
Okay.
It's decent beer. They sell them there. We could drink. There's going to be pierogies and all
like
kinds pierogies. Of Ukraine delicacies. Punters, come by.
Get in.
That's me good.
Okay. So after Villa Liverpool, which is the late.
Yeah, I'll be there about 1. I'm going to watch the games and I'm going to go about 1. The weekend plans on the podcast. This is good.
this is a high quality podcast. What are you doing? Listeners,
hopefully the paparazzi won't be out for punters.
Come to the Ukrainian festival.
Yeah, come. Yeah, say hi.
Dunlop and Dubby.
I'll be in the beer tent.
Punch him in the face for me.
I'll be in the beer tent. I'm easy to spot.
I'll be eating pierogies. In a
I
suit.
I do like pierogies, I have to say.
Oh, my pierogies are nice.
Fantastic pierogies. She does. Yeah?
She makes them.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Amazing. Oh, yeah, she's good.
Wow.
And yeah. Made up for the dog shitting in my back. I'll make some pierogies.
Maybe
for
the
you,
dog
okay.
ate pierogies and shit.
Maybe that's what it was, yeah. Good. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Arsenal, Man City.
Pierogies.
That's right.
Camping.
Big game early.
Man City
big
coming up with a loss of Stoke.
Yeah.
Joe Hart out to redeem himself. Was it? I wouldn't call it a howler.
No,
against Bramjohr.
But it just
it
raises the doubts
great.
In Hart that he's established over the last couple of years that maybe he's not. You know,
at least it took the
elite.
Hype away from City because they started off the season pretty well.
Mm. Yeah,
Aguero was scoring goals again. So you know they're still quiet though, aren't they? You know, compared to all the noise being made by certain other teams, they're very quiet, lurking in the weeds. It seems.
Yeah. Well, I think that they're going to have trouble in a marathon season, though. I mean that. They're going to find themselves in situations similar to that Stoke match several times this year, enough to drop points and not be in contention for the title come March, April. I wouldn't say that, but I mean, I really think that without having Negredo there, that's a big drop in quality should there be injuries and you have to move pieces around.
Aguero's not going
to
start more than 25 games because he never
does. All.
So you're really relying on Dzeko now to fill that and Jovetic to have a full season.
Right.
So You know, they're a little thin there without Negredo and...
We're just kind of assuming that Aguero gets hurt. We're assuming that Jovetic gets hurt at some point as well, because just recent form suggests that's what's going to happen, right?
Yeah.
But a big game, I like Dzeko a lot, though. Yeah, it should be a very good game.
And Chelsea and Swansea, battle of undefeateds. If Chelsea win, I mean, it's so early, but you just think of it. If Chelsea win and they're on 12 points, and then whoever loses between Arsenal and City, if one of them loses, could be, say, on 5 or 6 points.
Season over.
6 or 7 back over. Early on. You're chasing for a while now.
Pack it up.
But all right, Chelsea always go through.
Saying,
and Chelsea always go through that run, either at the beginning of December or early in the new year, where they're dropping points against teams they have no business dropping points to. And then you question the manager, you question Roman Abramovich, who, by the way, I believe has a yacht in the Toronto Harbor, because there's this humongous boat outside the view of my place.
They call it a yacht, eh?
Yeah.
They're like a fixed island. It's a floating island.
It is a massive boat.
Is that a Seaman reference?
No.
Massive boat.
You're reaching. A massive boat?
You're reaching, definitely. There's no doubt about it.
You're reaching around.
That is a Seaman reference.
Yeah.
Can we just
a boat.
Hold on. It was brought to my attention by a relatively new listener that, like, we need to watch it with the inside jokes. So,
I think we do.
I think
people love them.
People do love them. But
what, the Seaman reference?
Well, I was just going to say that this goes back to, for those who don't know, this goes back to one day, Dobby, I believe, invented it, making a reference to David Seaman, how he would look like an adult film star.
Yeah.
And then through the sentences in our talking about the game, we just would repeatedly, you know, talk about crossing balls into the box.
Pornography collection started.
Which actually was chronological. What do you call when you put it all together?
Chronologically?
No. Chronicled.
Chronicled
by Lucas Pankari. 274 entries.
I still have the duo
over 18 months. Yes.
Yeah.
So now you know what the duo tang is.
Hilarious.
What a funny thing, a duo tang. Interesting. I don't know, the word's duotang.
Duotang?
It's one word.
What's duotang?
A duotang. It's like the folders, like you put in
which
a duotang.
The snap folders?
Yeah, it's like, yeah.
Yeah, like you would submit.
It's called a duotang.
A duotang.
Duotang. Well, duotang.
Never heard that before.
No?
No, never. Yeah. I think you're making it up.
No. He's overemphasizing.
Alec Berg, duotang.
Really? That's an odd word. Is it not, is it taken from a foreign word? Like
I don't know what it's from.
It must be French.
Do a tang. That could be a
must be
a reference.
Dual, like, well, yeah. Duo. It's probably because it's like two. I don't know. If anybody knows the origin of duo.
We really, really go off topic.
That's
we?
Right.
It's been a good podcast, actually. Probably the best.
There's no one listening at this point.
They're all gone.
Sorry, J-Mo.
Yeah, exactly.
They know our weekend plans. And
sorry, J-Mo. If you're listening, we do apologize.
So far, we've dumped all over Euro qualifying, talked about James the dog shitting in the back of the car, our weekend plans, eating pierogies, and the origin of duo tag.
All that's left, 28 days till the NHL season starts, boys.
And
what do you think?
If you didn't know about the soccer world, now you do.
Liverpool play Aston Villa this weekend. Villa off to a nice start. Tasty. Hey, looking pretty good.
Third in the table.
Absolutely.
They won at Anfield a couple years ago, I remember. It was a really big coming out party for some of their younger players. Yeah, I remember Benteke and Vyman were great that day. They won, I think, 2 or 3-0 at Anfield.
They were up 2-0 last season, and they drew 2-2.
2 years ago, though, they beat them.
Really?
Remember that, punters?
I was starting to think about something else as it was in December.
I remember, yeah.
But regardless, so Villa, right? Just saying, a nice start to the season, right? I think it's 7 points, right?
Yes,
right.
7 points.
Two wins and a draw. Liverpool this weekend. Then it's Arsenal, Chelsea, City, and Everton.
Right. So they're not going to pick up any more points.
Right.
So it was great to get 7 from an available 9.
Could be a very important 7 points.
But we learned a couple things in these 3 matches. Roy Keane isn't ready to be manager because it would have happened already. 2. There's a kid named Jack Grealish, who I believe is only 17, and he looks like, and this is, I was thinking, the names escape me. What's the name of the actor, the star guy in Lord of the Rings?
The dwarf?
No, like the main...
Danny DeVito?
The main actor, like
Harry
he's
Potter.
Like a younger guy.
Jon Snow?
No, he's...
The actor.
It's going to drive me crazy.
In Game of Thrones?
A bizarre name. No, Lord of the Rings.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He's got a bizarre name, like an E. It starts with an E or something.
He was in
Green Street Hooligans.
Oh, Elijah Wood.
Elijah Wood. Yeah. Right. Jack Grealish, this 17-year-old kid that looks like Elijah Wood. And he looks like he's from the 80s. I'm pretty sure he was wearing black boots.
Was he?
And he took the ball, and they were raving about him, like, oh, Roy Keane's really big on him, shows so much, they've put him in the game. He played 20 minutes against Hall in that last win. And I forget who it was for Hall that just took the hell out of his legs. But he's a bright spot to watch. So over the next few games, he's also been linked with Real Madrid. That was the reason for my story. So over
love
the next few games,
there,
when Villa lose a bunch, you'll see
love
that.
Your notes. Like, we're not getting to it. All of that prep work, and
I
didn't even get
I
to
know. This is mainly for, I did a radio show earlier today, actually a real important show.
Oh, okay.
So I didn't hear you on Primetime Sports.
Some good information.
Battle of relegation battle on Sunday, though, eh?
Old Trafford.
QPR.
Yeah, absolutely.
Big one. Big points on offer.
Yeah. Well, okay, explain to me, what is Van Gaal going to do this week with the... You thought that's pretty funny, didn't you?
I thought it was pretty good. I think he should...
Yes, Tom, it's going to be a relegation battle. United QPR, that's very well
done.
I
honestly couldn't fall asleep
until 8 a.m.
today.
There are people in their home on the floor pissing themselves at laughter. That might be the funniest line they've ever heard on the podcast. United QPR relegation tussle.
I'm just laughing at how his hair has gone all
it's pretty madness. It's like... You know what it is?
It's not like for me.
You're unaware that you have product in your hair. You treat it like you...
I'm not used to it. It's like number 4 on the scale.
We need a
four
picture
of
this.
The gel I'm
we
using.
Need a picture
of
this.
I don't need 4 out of 5 gel.
You need
that's like for experienced gel users.
You need a routine. You honestly, you look like a mad scientist right now.
Just give me...
Get it with this. Give him the Jim Dunlop guitar pick as well.
See how bad it is?
Hang on. We've reached new lows here at the podcast, actually.
That's not good, is it?
No.
Yeah.
Please tweet us and let us know if you appreciate this.
Bench at a play park somewhere.
Yeah. It's good. What do you guys think of this? Play Rooney in the hole behind Van Persie, Falcao, and Di Maria.
Is there another place for
is
him?
Is MVP playing this weekend?
I don't know.
Is he healthy?
But that's their best
team. Regardless, is there any role for him other than number 10 on that team?
No.
I don't see it.
But playing Falcao, Di Maria, and Van Persie all up top, like on the three-pronged.
Real Madrid played Di Maria deeper last year, right, in the midfield three, with a license to get forward, and that worked really well. But the question is he going to do away with this three-man defense, right? And I don't think he is yet, because he spent all of training camp trying to figure this thing out.
Sure.
Right? And
getting Blackett ready for duty.
Yeah, and Blackett might be a very good player. He might be. He seems to like him, right? So that's, if he's ripping on this guy, he's like representing what's wrong with Man United right now. Mm. But that's unfair. He's a young guy. He's being blooded right now, but maybe he'll go to a 4, which would be easier to get all these guys in there, but I don't know how you fit them all in there right now. Yanezai as well.
Yeah, I forgot all about Yanezai.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have. What a good
story
last
for David
season,
Moyes.
But
he came on last week.
Yeah. We'll see. They're a mess.
He's got to go out on loan.
If it does gel...
Blind and Rojo. I mean, they have so many new players to work in there, but they can't get much worse.
No, they've been just...
You know what dreadful. I don't understand, by the way? The Premier League doesn't deal with third-party ownership. So how the hell did the Rojo deal go through?
That's why it took so long, right?
That's what they say. But the sporting president called out, said it's this monster. He called out UEFA for, not stamping it out because it's illegal in the Premier League. But
Carlos Tevez,
it's rampant in on the continent, and Jorge Mendes and company have made quite the living off of that.
Before we get out of here, Spurs are obviously announcing this week that they'll be playing one season outside of White Hart Lane as they build a new stadium.
Where do you want to see them play?
Well, I saw one headline, didn't get into the story, saying that they are not ruling out a ground share for one season with Arsenal.
Yeah.
There's no way Arsenal would agree to that.
No way.
Football fans are idiots.
Yeah.
All right? Can you imagine what they'll do to that stadium?
Yeah.
The last home game especially. It wouldn't be a good scene.
No, it wouldn't be a good scene at all.
They destroy that stadium.
Well, I think the more realistic is them sharing the Olympic Stadium with West Ham.
Yeah.
That's a more realistic situation. The talk of them playing at Wembley, I think a lot of people see it as sacrilegious to have a club play there. But at the same time, if they're in the Champions League, which they might be, they're going to need a bigger stadium. They could play at the MK. That's a beautiful stadium in Milton Keynes, don't you think?
Yeah, it's a bit far away, though, isn't it?
Not too far. The train system is good.
Spurs fans. I tried to get there, actually, by subway once upon a time.
Well, that's
a
problem.
MK Dons, when I did that feature many, many years ago. And I got to the end of the tracks, and I got very, very lost. So it isn't that easy. I'm an idiot, though. So
yeah, that's true. Well, you also took the subway when it's an above-ground train.
Sorry. Underground went above. Yeah, it was the underground, but it went above. The above underground.
That makes no sense.
It doesn't make sense. Quickly, Canada, Jamaica. Do you guys watch it?
I was watching the Jays game.
I went to a premiere, a TIFF premiere for Red Army, actually, which was a documentary based on Slava Fetisov, and it was very good. Really? Wayne Gretzky in attendance, Scotty Bowman as well.
Really? Yeah. Now, was that through the missus?
It wasn't through the missus. It was randomly through a coworker of ours, the guy who cuts court cuts. Court Cuts had a pair of tickets, and he had to work.
Is that Dino?
And cut a shift. That's Dino. Okay. So he gave me a shout and said, "Hockey, you in?" I'm like, 29 days, bro. Give me the tickets.
Nice.
Good one for Canada.
No, first six matches. Awful, but when people say, but Jamaica are bad, this is Canada playing here, okay? They're
three
a bad team as well,
goals.
Right? So don't start saying it's because the other team is so poor. I thought they played really well. Showed more aggression.
It did.
And more, you know, they've been saying all week, we're playing more technical. We're playing the ball out from the back, and you know, have they got those kind of players? Well, it actually looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
It was their first win since that Honduras debacle as well. Wow. Yeah.
Which is astonishing.
16
isn't it?
Matches.
Almost 2 years.
Yep.
16
three
matches?
Three goals they've scored in 16 matches. And
2018 qualifying, two legs against Belize will be here in no time.
Just watching Atiba, though, again out there, and you watch him for Canada. We mentioned him numerous times during the qualifying for the World Cup, and he just stands above all others.
Oh, yeah.
Miles. By so far, the best player in the field. It's not even close. Mm-hmm. What a great player.
It's unfortunate that those years in his peak at PSV that they weren't in the Champions League.
No one knows who he is in this country.
Yeah.
So sad because he is one of our greatest exports from a purely talent standpoint. Big fan of Atiba Hutchinson. All right, boys. This weekend on The Empire, 9:30 Saturday, Saints Newcastle and Chelsea Swansea. And Sunday at 10, you can see maybe Falcao's debut in the relegation tussle. Hey, Tom.
Yes.
10 o'clock in the morning, Eastern. Note that, 10 o'clock in the morning,
You'll
Eastern.
You'll be camping.
Yeah, it's going to rain all weekend too, apparently. I'll be extremely drunk. So much for this family. Oh, you're such a family guy.
You're just going to be wasted.
I'm going to be an awful dad.
What is the brew of choice in the Charmin household?
I haven't got a brew of choice.
What are you taking out with you?
For camping, I'll probably bring a 2-4, something domestic.
Keith's?
Maybe. I like Keith's, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
Rogers Anyplace TV on the tablet so you can watch all the Premier League you're talking about?
My iPad is, sadly, wireless only. It's not 3G. However, if I can get it on my phone, I will. Good point.
You can tether it from your phone.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'll be up for Arsenal City.
I'm waking up for
then Chelsea Swansea.
Yeah.
Blades on the radio. And I'll meet you up at the Yuki Fest.
It's going to be a long day. I'm thinking I might have to nap between the 10 o'clocks. I don't know. I'll go out and watch Villa... Liverpool, and then join you for some pierogs and some pivo.
Sure. You are such a lazy prick.
So
you have to nap because you get up. For
do
the
you
early
work
one?
Saturday?
Really?
No, because
you
work on Friday and Saturday.
So you're working Friday.
Because you
work
late.
Keep going until 3 in the morning.
Saturday. Down.
Connected. 1 a.m. Eastern.
What time is it? How much time have we been
wasting
here?
We've been babbling for... Well, we've talked
minutes.
A lot of soccer. 42 minutes and 4 seconds.
That's not bad. So
perfect.
Yeah. Anything else you want to get to in the world of... soccer and
anything?
Stuff? Anything at all, really?
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
IKEA cutlery sucks, if I can just say.
Do you have to put it together yourself? Each, like, prong on the
how
fork?
How does this fork fit in there?
What's it called?
There was a
Lambert or something. You know?
A Grunzig was one, and there was another one.
Melbourne.
Dragon. the one I had was Dragon, but it had umlauts over the O. Was it Dragon? I don't know what it was.
Dragon.
Yeah, Dragon.
Sound like Pedro Portuguese there.
So he should be coaching the national team.
He should be.
Screw you, Fernando Santos. You got no chance.
All right, yeah, that's it. That's the podcast we talk about football. We waste your time. Bye.